Now, Evangelist Winston Time.
Thank you. The Word of God at Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Earnestly will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and weary land where no water is. There is much being said about lifelines in these days. Perhaps at no other time has the subject been so all-important as now. We read of vital communications and supply lines connecting armies at the front with the sources of supplies. The lifelines of the British Empire, connecting the motherland with the dominions beyond the seas, was once much in the limelight. Great efforts are and were made to provide and maintain these lines, which become the very life blood of the people. In our own land, there are many avenues constituting important means of sustenance. A noteworthy example of this is the huge aqueduct system in New York City's water supply. Despite the fact that it is one of the world's greatest supply systems, providing a veritable river of drinking water for the 7 or 8 million inhabitants of the nation's metropolis, the authorities are racing against time to forestall a possible shortage in this vital necessity to the life of the people. Although the present supply comes from as far as 60 miles north of the city, the new source taps regions more than 100 miles distant, conveying the precious supply through large aqueducts and conduits to the city's pumping stations and thence to the consumer. While the full energy of man is expended in this effort to provide for the physical well-being of cities and nations, we find a vast difference between this and the way people handle spiritual lifelines, which have to do with the eternal happiness of the soul. God, the Heavenly Father, has reached down from His vantage point above the world and has extended to all people the privilege of partaking of the supply of His never-failing love and grace. He has placed it within our grasp, and all that is necessary is for each individual who would be supplied with the blessings which flow from heaven to tap the aqueduct of supply. When sin separated man from the Creator in the beginning, God began to plan the redemption of man from sin. Prophetically, the announcement was made that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of Satan, while Satan would bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15. Repeatedly, God promised that through the seed of Abraham, then Isaac and Jacob, all the families of the earth would be blessed. This finally found its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. For Paul indicates that the ultimate fulfillment of the seed mentioned referred to Jesus, Galatians 3:16. Before the birth of Christ, the Lord appeared to Joseph and told him that the child to be born of Mary was to be called Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins, Matthew 1:21. John begins his gospel with the words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." John 1, verses 1 through 17. Jesus himself said that the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me may not abide in darkness. The word that I speak, the same shall judge him in the last day. John 12:46-48. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. John 14:24. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12. And I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Here then is the lifeline which God has provided to redeem us from sin, even his Son, Jesus Christ. The apostles were commissioned to preach this gospel to the whole world. Matthew 28:19-20. Mark 16:15-16. Luke 24:47. They were told to remain in Jerusalem until they were clothed with power from on high, that the Spirit, when he came upon them, would bring to their remembrance all that Jesus had taught them. John 14:26. This was fulfilled on Pentecost following the ascension of Christ, when the apostles were in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them tongues parting among them like as a fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2:1-4. Peter began to show from prophecy and other scriptures that the happenings of that day were a fulfilling of the things spoken, that David had prophetically spoken of Jesus, that this same Jesus God had raised and was sitting at God's right hand in a place of authority, and having received this of the Father, had sent forth that which had just taken place, that God had made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom they had crucified. Acts 2:16-36. Having been convicted of their wrongdoing, they inquired as to what they should do, and Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Acts 2:37-38. Paul, in writing to the Romans, indicated that when one is buried in baptism, that he is buried with Christ through this means into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-5. He also indicates that we become sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. All are one in Christ Jesus. And if ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:26-29. Thus, through faith in Jesus, repentance, and obedience through baptism, the river of the water of life is open for the use of all sin-sick souls. All that remains for the child of God is to keep that lifeline clean and open, and the supply of God's never-failing blessings will flow freely into the life of the individual. In these dark days, very little time is spent in connecting with the reservoir above, and after the contact is made, it seems that even less effort is made to keep the life-giving supply flowing through our own lives. There will be a day when the last available supply of God's grace will have been exhausted. The last chance of constructing and maintaining the line between earth and heaven will have passed. The seriousness of world conditions demands our consideration in the light of God's truth and should cause every disciple of the Lord to be diligent in keeping the faith and of telling the story of Jesus and his love. Nothing else will save the millions living in sin and on the verge of the eternal abyss. And Jehovah will guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in dry places and make strong thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Isaiah 58:11. God bless you, my friend.